The IRAD investments that the industry is making, you're right, we do have some knowledge about, and that's mostly based on folks getting the opportunity to visit the contractor sites. And that works for many of the large contractors where they can invite our science and technology folks to come visit them and take a look at their projects. The problem is that we're entering a new era where there are many more people that are interested in the IRAD investments, and it gets a little difficult, as you might imagine, with the travel budgets going down. So we're trying to think of new and creative ways to connect the bright people in industry with the government folks, and not just the science and technology folks, but the acquisition folks as well, to be aware of the research that's going on in industry. And we think that through places like the Defense Innovation Marketplace, it'll create those new connections. And as a result of those connections, we'll be able to better leverage the research that the industry is doing and actually accelerate innovation. And, you know, we need that to support our new strategy, which the President and the Secretary announced a couple of weeks ago. And much of it relies on advanced technology, and they're talking about new capabilities. So we think that through places like the Defense Innovation Marketplace, we'll be able to accelerate innovation by better leveraging the investments that industry is making across a broader range of areas.
DoD published a rule in the Federal Register just recently, kind of modifying the way they report back to you. Give us a sense of what the new rule said, and obviously you talked a little bit about how is it going to change, but when do you foresee this change really taking effect?
The change takes effect immediately. The Defense Contracts Management Agency is working with their folks out in the field to provide industry with the information of how to meet what the new rule is asking for. And the new rule is very simple. It's just asking firms to submit summary data on the projects that they're working on within their independent research and development. And by that, I mean the stuff that's reimbursed, the projects that are reimbursed by government. I don't know if you're aware, but government reimburses roughly about $4 billion a year in these research and development costs, and is charged as indirect expenses to contracts. We used to have much better information about this. Some years ago, in 2000, we got roughly 10,000 project reports. We were down last year to less than 1,000. So what had happened through the years was, I think industry didn't see any value in it, and government just kind of took other avenues to get access to information. And so we both see, both industry and government, see that the need to communicate better, and so we want to be able to get information about the project data. What the rule allows, or what the rule sets, is it sets an even playing field right from the beginning, and it allows us to be able to gather the information from industry within a short period of time. Now, when I say short period of time, this is obviously over the next few months. Industry will begin to enter their data, and as a result, later in this year, we'll have terrific information where people in government can learn about the great work that's going on in industry and leverage it. And through this, like the Defense Innovation Marketplace, there's actually direct connections from folks that will be able to look at the information and connect themselves directly with the folks in industry.
So can you give us a little bit of a flavor of what level of detail vendors are going to need to put into the Defense Innovation Marketplace?
I call it teasers. It's summary data. I know for the level of detail, it's very simple. It's they'll be entering, obviously, the title of their project, kind of the area they're working in. We're sort of interested in what we call a technology readiness level. The acronym is TRL. So is it a relatively far-out project where it's at the basic research level, or is it much more of a system development? And there are different TRL levels to describe that. So industry will provide that, and then just a brief summary. And we've also making it very easy for them. We've streamlined it. If they don't want to type in a description, they can just attach some PowerPoint files. We've made that opportunity for them. We're not doing this in isolation. We've actually went out and talked to many firms about how they gather their information about the research and development projects they have. And we use that to sort of structure the form that we created, and as well as how they're able to append stuff to it so that we can make it available to folks in government.
And the fact that it is just teasers, does that, in your mind, obviate any concerns that might be out there about disclosing proprietary information or trade secrets? And what else are you doing to make sure you safeguard that important information?
Well, I think even if it's teasers, I think we are always concerned about the proprietary nature of this information. So what we're doing is we've established some very advanced security protocols for entering the data. We have some very smart people that are assessing those security protocols and on a regular basis and let us know if we need to improve in some areas. And then on the government side, it's not that we're going to grant access to everyone. It'll be, we'll start slowly and we'll start with a select group of people to be able to search the data for their needs, and then we'll begin to expand a little bit. So we're thinking right from the beginning to be able to protect the data for industry.
We're talking with Ronald Krujanowicz, the Director of Strategy for the Defense Research and Engineering Director in the Office of the Undersecretary of Defense for Acquisition, Technology, and Logistics. Long title, even for DOD.
When you guys are gathering this data, obviously it's going to be give you a good look into how, where the money's going, but are you also going to use the data to make sure that there's not a lot of overlap, and if there is overlap, maybe do some matchmaking?
That's a great question. Industry has independence into determining how they want to invest their research dollars. So the question of overlap may be that there's an area of excitement that many firms want to get into and develop the capabilities. Remember, what this independent research and development does is it's actually building skill sets in industry with their researchers to be able at some point in the future to offer to the government technology solutions that we need for our capabilities. I'll give you an example. About 10 years ago, not many firms in the defense industry were investing their own money in cyber capabilities. And the government sort of led investments with that with what we call our contracted research and development. You know, contracts that are led out by the Air Force Research Lab, the Office of Naval Research, places like DARPA and the Army Research Lab. And they started to make investments in cyber, and industry bid on those contracts. They were able to do some of the work, and then they began to invest in their own independent research and development to further develop their capabilities. There was overlap certainly at that time, but now what we have is a very strong capability within our industry for cyber. So we're looking at the same thing right now. As we begin to develop the advanced capabilities for the future, there'll be areas where, and this is where industry's bright ideas will come forward, where there might be overlap. But that could be a great thing for us because then we'll have much more robust and terrific capabilities in the future.
But if DOD is reimbursing some of those costs, some of those allowable costs or indirect costs, do you have any kind of say over where industry invests then? Because if they're putting money in an area that you say, well, we really don't have a lot of excitement around, or there's 15 companies already doing this and you want to be the 16th, does that make a lot of sense?
One of the things about research and development, the acronym of IRAD, the first word is independent. And it's up to the folks in that firm to decide how they want to invest those reimbursed dollars. And if they choose, and obviously we'll be communicating with them, and you're right, there'll be areas that we may not be as interested in, and we'll tell them that. And they may say, well, you may not be interested in it this year, but in 5 years I know you'll be interested in it. So we'll take the risk. And the risk being is that they're using dollars, it's an opportunity cost for them that could be invested in other things. They're taking the risk in the hopes of positioning their firm to win contracts in the future. So their independence, it's their decision.
So as I read the rule, this does not capture every single vendor out there. There are thresholds set. Can you talk us through where those thresholds are and why they are where they are?
There is a threshold of $11 million, or what's defined as a major contractor, that is required to provide us with the IRAD project data. And that $11 million is combined IRAD and what we call bid and proposal costs. The rule also allows firms that are below that threshold to submit their data to the Defense Innovation Marketplace. And so we want to open up the opportunity to everybody. The $11 million threshold rule allows us to capture, you know, roughly 90% of those $4 billion investments. But we know that there are a lot of firms that are not large firms that are investing their IRAD dollars in interesting technology. And so we want to reach out to them as well and offer them the opportunity to provide us data on the research and development that they're doing. And I think we've already had a couple of queries, and I think that they will participate. They will want to participate because the whole idea of the Defense Innovation Marketplace is it's giving the industry a new avenue to showcase the terrific work that they're doing to people in government.
I know you guys did get some comments back during the regulatory process that were concerned that this was an administrative burden. Is that a concern to you? I mean, might a firm say, you know, we were thinking about starting this IRAD project, but the paperwork requirements just make it not worth our while?
Yeah, I mean, those comments were taken probably about a year and a half ago, and we've worked very hard to streamline the whole process and to make it easy for industry to submit their data and easy for our folks to be able to access information from it. So it's not a major concern.